Very briefly, let's open up this text in Exodus that describes for us this first Passover that God instituted with his people. As we said last Sunday, that God has seven holy days, seven feast days that he established for his people that portray and symbolize for us the redemptive acts of Jesus Christ on the cross. And chapter 12 describes this. We don't have time to read it all, but reading verse 6, it says, "Now you will keep that lamb that you choose," that's described in the first four verses, "and you will keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel will kill that lamb at twilight." Twilight is in the late afternoon before evening. "And they will take some of the blood," verse 7, "they will put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat." Verse 8 describes and on how they are to eat this meal together before morning. And then when we come to the end of this chapter in verse 26, it says, "It will be when your children ask you, 'What do you mean by this service?' Then you will say, 'This is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and he delivered our households.' And so the people bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord, and the children of Israel went away, and they did so just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron." So they did. We don't have a lot of time this morning, but in this series that we began, I'd like to take us through these seven special holy days that are consecrated to worshiping God in a very special way for Israel. When God first appeared to Abraham, read Genesis 15, 13, and 14 at home, God makes a covenant with Abraham. A covenant is a contract. It is an agreement. And God promises to bless Abraham, and from him will come the Redeemer, the Lamb of God that was promised to Adam and Eve in the garden when they sinned. When God told Eve, he says, "Your seed will crush the head of Satan." And God in that promise tells Abraham that your heritage, your sons, your daughters, they will spend over 400 years in Egypt. God prophesied this and it came to pass. And we find that Israel spends 400 years in Egypt as slaves. In Galatians, Paul writes, "When the appointed time came, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son to the Redeemer of the world." Later on, when we come to Genesis chapter 46, when Jacob finds out that his son Joseph, that he thought had been killed by wild animals many years before, when his other sons come home from Egypt and they tell him that this ruler of Egypt that sold us this grain, he is none other than Joseph, Jacob is afraid. And God appears to him in a dream and says, "Jacob, do not be afraid. Go to Egypt. And after many years, that your inheritance, they will be slaves in Egypt for many years. But after 400 years, I," God says, "I will bring them back again into the land." Joseph, when he's dying at the last chapter, chapter 50 of Genesis, he says, and in Hebrews we read in chapter 11, that he made a will. You know what a last will and testament is? It's when you leave whatever you have to the next generation. And what did Joseph in Egypt leave in his will for his posterity? He left his dead bones. How many of us have ever written a will where we leave our dead body to our children? Nobody. But Joseph believed the promise of God. And so as we come to Exodus chapter 12, 400 plus years have gone by, and God has sent Moses to be the one that leads Israel out. They were to select a lamb from their herds. By keeping it in their house for 4 days, they became very close and intimately related to this lamb. Verse 5 says, "This will become your lamb." Not just a lamb from the herd, but a special lamb. The children became attached to it. It's what we call a pet lamb. And then you will take this lamb on the 14th day and you will kill it. You know, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, and then he spent 4 days teaching in the temple, he presented himself to the nation, and they became intimately acquainted with Jesus Christ. And then the whole nation crucified Jesus. Symbolically, all of us participated in the death of Jesus Christ. But for the wrath of God to pass over us, every one of us needs to come under the blood of the Christ that died on the cross. And so this Lamb of God, becomes our Lamb, our Savior, our redemption, our salvation. Note the symbolism. This event became so memorable in the history of Israel that this chapter tells us, God says, this will be a new calendar for you. A new day, the first day of the month for you of your year. That's why when you hear about Passover, it doesn't occur on the same calendar that we celebrate January 1st. This day, this became the most important day in the life and the history of Israel. It's the first day of the year because that's the day they came out of Egypt and were liberated from their slavery. And this whole Passover that until this day, Jews celebrate a Seder every year and they celebrate this Passover. And all of its symbolism and this whole meal symbolizes and portrays for us what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And as we read the Gospels and as we read the various parts of the Last Supper, we see in it an exact parallel to what Jews even today celebrate when they celebrate the Passover. And having said that, we'll stop at this point and we'll pick up with this next Lord's Day, God willing, and start to look in detail at the three foods that Israel was supposed to eat during this meal and how these three foods, the lamb, the unleavened bread, and the bitter herbs, symbolize the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Amen.